Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals at their best on conference championship weekend. This is Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, if we're reacting to the Cincinnati Bengals punching their ticket to the Super Bowl, then we have to bring on Cincinnati Bengals superfan and host of Game Day on ESPN Radio, as well as host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. That would be our very own Jordan Cornette. And Jordan, based on some of the videos that you put out there on social media, I get a glimpse into how you reacted and how you were feeling after Evan McPherson made that kick. But what I want to know is, how are you feeling when it was first and goal from the five for the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of regulation with a minute and a half to go?
You know what, Mike and Chris, for one, I can't believe I'm sitting here talking as the Bengals are preparing for a Super Bowl. But if I was being honest, that was the first time and legitimately the only time where I felt like it was impending doom, Chris. Like, come on, it's Mahomes, it's the Chiefs. Everybody, I think, was expecting what was coming. And I say that was my only minute of doubt, because outside of that, even when we got down 21-3, there's just something about this group that makes you believe. And I think maybe that was just, you know, the ultimate, you can never quit on this team because they don't quit on themselves moment. For Sam Hubbard to get in there to attack the gap and go ahead and lay down Patrick Mahomes and give us a chance to play for overtime, it's all so surreal. I can't believe what I saw last night.
And for anyone watching on ESPN Plus, what you're seeing is Jordan Cornette barefoot in the snow, screaming Bengals glory at a neighborhood full of people here. Jordan, you know, there's video of you with your young son, Joey, too. What is this like for Bengals fans as a whole, for the city of Cincinnati, kind of waiting for as long as you all have this playoff drought to get to this moment now?
Well, first I do want to address the being in the snow, because I've gotten a lot of kickback on Twitter for this, Mike. People saying, why didn't I shovel my driveway? I did it this morning before I knew we were going to leave the house. There was nobody leaving my house on Sunday. It was Bengals Sunday, so I didn't shovel. I did it this morning before my day started. And as for yelling outside, and Chris, you can attest to this one, me living in Connecticut, being a big brother outside in the neighborhood I live in, screaming like that, not my best moment. Happy that I was safe at the end of that. That was a regrettable looking back at hindsight. But Mike, as you asked the question, I mean, I think you as an adopted Cincinnatian, as our city's wrapped our arms around you, you being a Raiders guy and many other things, and I've been lucky enough to have you to support my family down there in Cincinnati. You know the city well. And because of that, you understand the history of the city and the heartbreak that's come with it. In terms of the professional sports, collegiate sports, it's just happened so many times where our hearts have been broken. And it felt like in this one it was going to be the coin toss game, where when we lost the coin toss, it was like, I mean, really? We're not even going to get a chance with Joe Burrow to go decide this one, because that's what we've come to expect. And it's the trend's been bucked. I mean, when we brought Joe Burrow into this franchise, everything changed, because he was like, get all that history. I know what we're coming to do. I know what we're capable of. And this phrase that has become a rallying cry, the why not us cliche to it is us. These guys don't care about what the past is. They don't care about the postseason mishaps. They believe in turn, the fans have that same belief. I mean, we're going into this thing not like, why not? We're going in thinking we're the favorites against the Rams, and that's the mentality that's changed with this group.
Talking with the host of Sports Nation on ESPN, Jordan Cornette. And Jordan, I wanted to ask you about Joe Burrow, because the swag is undeniable. Seeing him walk in with the frameless stunner shades and the chain in the arrowhead and coming out there with a win. I mean, first of all, just for the quarterback to have that type of audacity, to have that kind of arrogance, and then to go out there and back it up is one thing. But spinning it forward to the Super Bowl, and this just big picture as your future franchise quarterback, is Joe Burrow giving you every reason to have every confidence in him in terms of being able to win in the Super Bowl and being able to bring your team to more Super Bowls? Because I think that's the question that everybody wants to know now. I mean, we've seen him beat the best that the NFL has to offer in Pat Mahomes. Now you're talking about this guy competing for a championship in year two. So how high is your confidence level in Joe Burrow that he can deliver on the biggest stage the game has to offer?
I mean, it's Chris, you believe you have a chance, and I wish I had the exact stat. Maybe it's 9-0 at this point. But the big games, the Joe Burrow big games, his record is sterling. He's never lost the big game. So, look, maybe nobody wants to compare him to Tom Brady after 22 years, the greatest football player of all time. I get it. But tell me now, with Tom Brady retired, that there's not a guy that you would want in that position with a big game other than Joe Burrow. The resume speaks for itself. Tom Brady's retired. Yeah, there's still greatness around in this league. No question, Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing football somewhere next year. But what does Aaron Rodgers do in the biggest game? Not what Joe Burrow does. So I think maybe it might be too early and people aren't comfortable with shifting to the focus on this guy just delivers. But it's in the resume. If it's a big game, Joe Burrow's going to be on the winning side of it. So why wouldn't I believe in the Super Bowl Joe Burrow's going to do the same thing? And when I hear people talk about these greats, like Tom Brady, go down the list. Outside of like a Michael Jordan, which we always – it's always interesting to us, but naturally you hear the players talk about these guys like they walk on water. They're magnetic. They want to be around them because they enjoy them as teammates. That's what this Bengals group has caught, lightning in a bottle with the camaraderie amongst the group. And it starts with Joe Burrow. Joe Mixon talking about Super Bowl Burrow. These guys love their quarterback. They believe in him. They play for him. That domino effect is real. You two have played on championship teams. Chris, you've won a Super Bowl. Mike, you've gone to the national championship. You know what camaraderie means. The Bengals have it. That is paramount.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking to Jordan Cornette, who, for anyone keeping track at home, has now inadvertently compared Joe Burrow to Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and I believe with the walk-on-water reference, Jesus Christ himself. So the high praise right now for swaggy
and I'm
Joe Burrow. Honestly,
and I'm underselling him.
It feels like that, Jordan. I do have to ask you, though, because we're going to have him on coming up in about 10, 15 minutes here. Part of this magical run, in addition to Joe Burrow and what he's been able to do, this defense, Trey Hendrickson and the guys getting after it up front here, the other good luck charm that Cincinnati has apparently picked up along the way is Jason Fitz, our ESPN radio host, who started off as your enemy from Wild Card Weekend as a Raiders fan, who has done a Bengals slander or anti-Bengals song heading into every matchup so far, and the Bengals so far in the playoffs have won every one of those. Is it now to the point, Jordan, where if he held out, you'd be willing to pay Jason Fitz to do this song leading up to Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes! I knew this was a difficult spot for you to be in, Mike, because you're close friends with the both of us, and now I feel like you're pulling the rug out from underneath me. Are you playing agent for Fitz now? Are you getting 10%? Is this what it's gonna have to come to for me to get him to do a song that I'm gonna have to try and pony up here? I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes to get Fitz to do another jingle. It's that important. And what is also funny is the dynamic of it all. People send him hate tweets at the end of every game because they think he's truly doing this to go against the Bengals. They don't realize it's all a ruse. He's in it with us. He is a part of the jungle. He is Bengals Nation. We need him. And sure, if I'm going to have to pay, you can get 10%, Mike. I'll still pay Fitzy, whatever we have to do. But we need Fitz in our corner. He is the guy who will lead at the front of the parade in Cincinnati when the season comes to a conclusion in L.A.
Listen, he's extraordinarily cheap, so you're not going to have to pay him much in all of this one. That's the whole thing with Fitz. Jordan, we also have to make sure, by the way, are you going to be out there? Are you going to be in Los Angeles for this?
Look, a lot of layers to it. Mike, you know my wife loves you. Chris, you're married to a Chicago woman. You know how challenging it can be to get your way in the household. So there's one obstacle and hurdle there. Next to the bosses, if they're listening right now, let your boy go out there and have his day in the sun. I'll deliver good work. I'll deliver content. I need to find a way to get into the stadium. Right now, what the prices are, I can't walk in, look my wife in the face confidently and say, I'm doing this if I want to have a wife to come home to after the Bengals win in L.A. So a few layers to it. I hope to be able to go, but right now, I could say efforting is the best response.
All right, well, we are going to throw our whole weight behind this. Chris, I feel like we have to start the campaign with our bosses who are definitely listening. Jimmy, baby, we're always throwing out ideas around here. Sending Jordan Cornette to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl here. Jimmy Vitaro, listen, friend of the program here.
Hey,
Chris, I feel like we got this.
Hey, look, Chris, let me get some of that Super Bowl money, bro. I mean, come on, man. How do you know? I'm going to the PJ. What are we doing here?
Listen, Jordan, if it comes down to it, I'll start a GoFundMe for you to go to the Super Bowl. I'm sure a lot of ESPN radio fans would jump behind that, too. By hook or crook, we're going to get you in the building, brother. Trust me.
Hey, let's go, man. I know I got you guys behind me. I have Mike already send a tweet out. Put him on every network. Nobody listened there. Maybe they'll listen here. This is the start. I'm on with you guys. Let's get me to L.A. Let's go.
There we go. All the juice, clearly, that we've got around here. Jordan, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. Enjoy the network-wide takeover here. We're going to look forward to a week of Skyline and Graders propaganda around here.
Hey, much love, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hootay! Hootay! Who do they think they're going to beat them Bengals? No! Buddy!
Jordan Cornette, host of Game Day on ESPN Radio. Check out that and more on Sports Nation on ESPN Plus as well. We will get the rebuttal from Jason Fitz in about 15 minutes. But coming up next, we got to go to a very important introduction in the Big Apple. Someone starting off their tenure on the right foot and in the right car. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm a big fan of Brian Daboll. He is a problem solver. He's a great person. He brings energy. He's selfless.
We're just going to try to do things the right way. There's pressure with every job in this business. Obviously, we're here in New York. We understand the market, but the pressure is going to be put on ourselves, too.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Get at us on the CNG Twitter at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. And you just heard it from our resident general manager, Mike Tenenbaum. He's a big fan of Brian Daboll, who was introduced as the New York Giants' 20th head coach. And we knew that this was probably going to happen, Gojo, when the Giants tabbed Joe Shane, the assistant general manager from the Buffalo Bills, as their next GM. So it seems like this was the obvious move for the Giants to go in this direction when they wrapped up their coaching search on Friday. They announced the decision, and then the head coach had his introductory press conference today. And I got to say, not a whole lot of negatives there from Brian Daboll. It certainly didn't sound like the Joe Judge press conference or the Pat Shurmur press conference. There weren't a whole lot of promises that he made, but he did lay out that he did have confidence in Daniel Jones, and he was going to commit to putting a system around him so that their fourth-year quarterback could have success.
Yeah, like you said, he wanted to go out here and check the box without promising too much, which also meant addressing one thing in particular, because we have heard it. Some of it from our own friend around here and Bart Scott from Bart and Hahn that you can check out on ESPN Radio about the comparison between Daniel Jones and Josh Allen that Brian Daboll quickly went to work on dispelling.
4 years ago with Josh, we started together. We had consistency. We had consistency in scheme. We had consistency with the coaches. And we, you know, it took time to build. It didn't happen overnight. I wouldn't do that to Daniel or really any other player. I think that's unfair. I want to get to really know Daniel first and see what makes him tick. And then, you know, we'll take it one day at a time. I know he's really willing, but to compare where Josh is or Daniel, I don't think that's fair to do to either one of those guys.
And I think that's spot on. Not surprising that a bald-bearded man would have that sort of measured and understandable take and outlook on life. But, Chris, that's going to be the danger in all this, because people are going to just look and say, traits, gifts, all these things that we were sold with Josh Allen, Daniel Jones may have some of the same, but we got to go back. The John Mara statement should live rent-free in every Giants head, fan's head about this. We have done everything possible to screw this kid up. Remember how many coordinators he's been through already. Remember all the change that's been the hallmark of his career, and understand and lower the bar now. That's not to say Brian Daboll was lowering the bar to try and diminish what he thinks Daniel Jones can do, because he's clearly trying to play the middle ground on this, but it's an understanding that if you attach that kind of expectation to him, there's no version of this that's going to be good enough for Daniel Jones from here on.
Yeah, Daniel Jones does have some physical gifts. The kid does doesn't become the sixth overall pick in a draft unless you do, but he's no comparison when it comes to what Josh Allen is bringing to the table. So Brian Daboll managing expectations on that front seems like the right thing to do. Now, whether or not he actually believes that Daniel Jones is the future franchise quarterback for the Giants, that remains to be seen. And based on the sample size that we've had, Gojo, 3 years in which Daniel Jones has accounted for a total of 50 touchdowns to 49 turnovers and has missed time in each of those three seasons, I don't know how a new head coach can have that kind of conviction in a guy. So we'll find out exactly how Brian Daboll and Joe Shane feel about Daniel Jones once we get later on in the offseason, because they have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. You and I are aligned when it comes to that, that we wouldn't make that decision to exercise it, that we would make his fourth season a contract year and see what happens. But how the Giants proceed in managing Daniel Jones' contract is going to tell us a lot about what Brian Daboll and Joe Shane think of him, but I think it's also going to tell us about how much autonomy John Mara and Steve Tisch have actually given this new regime when it comes to making personnel decisions with guys that were once viewed as cornerstones for the franchise.
Yeah, if anyone's looking at this situation and expecting some sort of Cincinnati Bengals-like turnaround, I would wonder, make sure everyone understands to exercise some caution. Think about this next season for the Giants, the first under Brian Daboll, as some jabs at the beginning of the fight, Chris, because like you said, they've got a lot of things and a lot of information they need to gather about what they're going into. And that's, to your point, the biggest hope here I have is, so far, process-wise, this has been sound from the Giants. The next step is to let Joe Shane and Brian Daboll gather information, trust this team that's got the pedigree with where they come from, and then allow them to go out there and actually execute on that. So that's what's going to be at stake for the New York Giants, as Brian Daboll's tenure with the Giants is what's happening next, brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink. Jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. But coming up next, we have another head coaching hire to talk about that happened over the weekend here. Josh McDaniels and the Las Vegas Raiders. What does this mean next? Well, we'll go to our premier Raiders fan and try and check in on that and figure out how the next song is coming so that the Cincinnati Bengals can win the Super Bowl for Jordan Cornett. We'll talk to Jason Fitz after this word from Vivid Seats. All right, guys. The safe return of live events. You can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Jimmy, listen. Jordan Cornett, Super Bowl. We got to make this happen. We've got the means. We've got the time. He's got the content. You've got the money. That's right. Catch every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab, every Joe Burrow touchdown pass experienced live. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. Or work at ESPN and be a Bengals fan. From upper deck to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands, Jordan Cornett. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Back after this with one of the men who's going to help get Jordan Cornett to Los Angeles next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm Kevin Winter. Both Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow are former number one overall picks in the NFL draft. And now each are heading to their first Super Bowl. Stafford just had to wait a little longer than Burrow did. NFC title game yesterday, Stafford rallied the Rams from down 10. They knock off the Niners, go to the second Super Bowl in 4 years. For Matthew Stafford, in year number 13, he's going to his first Super Bowl. Burrow gets there in his second season, bringing the Bengals back from down 18 to winning Kansas City. Now the Rams will host the Super Bowl. Second straight year that's happened in the NFL. 2 weeks out, Rams 4-point favorites, total of 50, according to Caesar Sportsbook. Adam Schefter reporting the Jags will interview Rich Bisaccia for their vacant head coaching position. Bisaccia took over the Raiders when John Gruden stepped down. Bisaccia actually guided the Raiders to the playoffs. The breaking news from the NBA, not good for Utah. Joe Ingles has a torn ACL, suffered it back on Friday night. This is according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Season is done. Utah right now fourth in the Western Conference, sitting with a record of 30-21.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, since we're recapping what happened on championship weekend and seemingly as how the Raiders have reportedly hired their next head coach, we felt it fitting that we bring on our good friend, co-host of the Spain and Fitz show, Jason Fitz, to react to all of it. But Fitzy, before we ask you about the weekend that was in the National Football League, I got to ask you, what can we expect in the way of a diss track for the Cincinnati Bengals leading up to the Super Bowl? I need to know.
And for anyone that's not aware of what Jason's talking about here, Jason, going back to his Las Vegas Raiders matchup against the Bengals in the wild card round, had written a song going against anti-Bengals song heading into that game and has kept it going through every round despite Jordan Cornett offering him the chance to come along for the Bengals ride. It's become somewhat of a tradition. This was the anti-Bengals jingle heading into this weekend's matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs that Jason just referenced.
Oh, hey, Jordan. Everybody knows that I'm a Raiders fan, and in a game like this, well, I should be a Bengals stan, but I'm gonna troll you now, 'cause that's the kind of friend I am. And maybe it's part of a master plan. 'Cause the Chiefs are gonna tomahawk chop your season away. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna leave you crying in your skyline chilly today. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause everything that you have loved will sure come crashing down. The Chiefs are gonna barbecue some Bengal in their town.
First off, Fitz, I don't normally give you a lot of credit, but it was really good, despite what your claims about the process were. Like, do you have Bengals fans who have been coming at you about this now sliding into your DMs asking when the next one? Because you've got to be their good luck charm at this point.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, every single Bengals fan insists that you have to make one because they got to keep that superstition going. Like, there's no way that you can make one for every round and their team win, and you just don't do it before the Super Bowl. If they lose, God forbid, they're going to all blame you if you don't make a track. So I feel like that's one of those things that has to happen. And Jason, one of the things that did happen over the course of the weekend is your Las Vegas Raiders decided they wanted to hire a head coach in Josh McDaniels. Your thoughts on the hire and where you think that leaves this team, and what, more importantly, how Derek Carr reacts to this.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, since we're recapping what happened on championship weekend and seemingly as how the Raiders have reportedly hired their next head coach, we felt it fitting that we bring on our good friend, co-host of the Spain and Fitz show, Jason Fitz, to react to all of it. But Fitzy, before we ask you about the weekend that was in the National Football League, I got to ask you, what can we expect in the way of a diss track for the Cincinnati Bengals leading up to the Super Bowl? I need to know.
You know, I'm already thinking about it. I will say I'm not proud of the way the last one was written. Like, I was in the shower and it came to me and I'm jumping around like a Muppet while I'm in the shower, just like no real words coming out, trying to record it in my iPhone in a way that doesn't, you know, lose me my phone. Like, it was. So you never know where this thing's going to pop. I got to figure that out. But yeah, it's a tradition at this point.
And for anyone that's not aware of what Jason's talking about here, Jason, going back to his Las Vegas Raiders matchup against the Bengals in the wild card round, had written a song going against anti-Bengals song heading into that game, and has kept it going through every round despite Jordan Cornette offering him the chance to come along for the Bengals ride. It's become somewhat of a tradition. This was the anti-Bengals jingle heading into this weekend's matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs that Jason just referenced. First off, Fitz, I don't normally give you a lot of credit, but it was really good, despite what your claims about the process were. Like, do you have Bengals fans who have been coming at you about this now sliding into your DMs asking when the next one? Because you've got to be their good luck charm at this point.
I've got a mix of it, right? So I've got some fans that get it. Like, there's a little, you know, sometimes good lyrics make you think a second. Like I said, it's all part of the master plan. Like, obviously, I want the Bengals to beat the Chiefs, but come on, this is working. So I've had a few that have come in and said, can't wait for the next one. It's the lucky charm. And then I've had a few come in and say, this didn't age well. Like, you want to rewrite this now? You get that from some people. But I feel like if I'm the lucky charm, maybe I'll like create some sort of a pot for the Humane Society or something. Make Bengals fans donate for me to do one so I can raise money for something good and help them win a Super Bowl. Because without me, they're not winning.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, every single Bengals fan insists that you have to make one because they got to keep that superstition going. Like, there's no way that you can make one for every round and their team win, and you just don't do it before the Super Bowl. If they lose, God forbid, they're going to all blame you if you don't make a track. So I feel like that's one of those things that has to happen. And Jason, one of the things that did happen over the course of the weekend is your Las Vegas Raiders decided they wanted to hire a head coach in Josh McDaniels. Your thoughts on the hire and where you think that leaves this team, and what, more importantly, how Derek Carr reacts to this?
Yeah, I think everything's a crapshoot. None of us really know if these guys are going to be any good. But there is something I like about Josh McDaniels, and that's, you know, I want to live in this utopia where a coach is like a chef on Chopped. He opens up a basket of ingredients and says, this is what I have with, how do I cook? And if you look at McDaniels, one of the things that does stand out as impressive is he's been willing to reimagine what offense looks like depending on the skill sets that he has to work with. So for me, I think that makes a lot of sense in looking at somebody like that and saying, this is the type of person you want to bring in as a coach, because how you design your offense could change constantly. So I like that portion of it. Realistically, what it means for Derek Carr, I think it means that Derek Carr in the next couple of months is going to get an extension and will be the quarterback for the future. If you're Josh McDaniels, The one thing you don't want to do is take your second shot at the job with no idea. Most guys don't get a third, right? So if you're going to take this job, man, part of your sales pitch is how are we going to win and win right away in an AFC West that is stacked. And there isn't a quarterback in this year's draft that you can say that's the guy. Also, there isn't a quarterback that will be sitting at 20 that you can say that's the guy. So for me, for Josh McDaniels to take this, it means that he believes Derek Carr can win a lot of football games for him. I would be shocked if by the draft Derek Carr doesn't have a new extension out that pays him quite handsomely and the Raiders decide to move forward with him as their quarterback.
So you for sure wanted Jim Harbaugh, right?
It's weird. You know, the Josh McDaniels thing is weird for a lot of Raiders fans.
Because you don't think he's going to show up?
It's too soon, Mike. He was the Broncos coach. He drafted Tebow. So, you spend years trashing somebody, it's hard. And then he's the Patriots coach. We all know that there's no such thing as a tuck. It was a fumble. So, it hits a lot of emotional nerves for Raiders fans. Harbaugh didn't. So, maybe that's where this comes from. But I don't know. Most teams, if they hire Josh McDaniels, would be in love with it. Raiders fans are not in love with this one so far. I still think, hey, wait and see how it works. I would have given Bisaccia the chance to run it back, but nobody asked me.
Jason, what are your way too early thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup between the Rams and the Bengals?
I don't know what you do when you're facing somebody that just doesn't care about the situation. It doesn't faze them at all. They can beat you through any of it. And I've called it youthful ignorance a few times, and I don't mean that as an insult, but Joe Burrow seems to, and the Bengals as a general group, have so much swagger of just in the moment, enjoying every second of it. There is no pressure on them. And every time I think that they're going to be overmatched, I'm wrong. Now, that being said, I just wonder if we should announce Aaron Donald as their starting running back because he's going to be in the backfield all damn day. It is just – that's going to be real. So I don't know what they do about the fact that Aaron Donald might wear a Bengals jersey by the end of the Super Bowl, but I have a hard time betting against Burrow right now because of the way he's playing. There's just a casual, yeah, I got this. This is not really a big deal that is incredible to watch.
So they open as early 4-point dogs. They've obviously thrived in that role. Jason, you're telling me that if you had to bet an uncomfortable amount of money, and for anyone that doesn't know, Jason Fitz, co-host of Spain and Fitz, among the cheaper men on earth. He's frugal. He does not like to go and put his money out there. Early look at this, you would ride with Joe Burrow on this if you had to bet your house.
If I had to bet your house, I'd comfortably do it. My house, I'm less, much less comfortable. I think right now, we got 2 weeks for me to overthink this thing, but man, how many times are we going to look at it and say there's no way? And it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at each of the teams that the Bengals have beaten in the playoffs, and each of them posed a different type of challenge. And the Bengals were able to ride through all of them. So you can look at it and say, wow, they've been absolutely, kissed by the football gods through this process. Or you can look at it and say, they've found a way to outthink everybody every step of the way. So, yeah, right now I'm riding Cincy, but I don't feel good about the pick at all.
There is Jason Fitz oozing confidence gets ready to write the next song that will propel the Cincinnati Bengals on towards the Super Bowl. You guys can catch Spain and Fitz coming up right after us on ESPN Radio starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, as you do every night. Fitzy, get back in the shower. Whatever you have to do in the creative process here, Bengals fans are counting on you in this jingle.
I will not let you down. But if this works, next year I'm writing an anti-Raiders song every week. If that's what it takes to win a Super Bowl, I'm in. Let's go.
There we go. Josh McDaniels or whoever shows up to coach when he pulls out of this will definitely be appreciative of that. Jason Fitz, everybody, on ESPN Radio. Kind enough to join us and give us some time here. Again, Chris, you know this. I am a low-hanging fruit kind of guy. The jokes have all been there, but I think that is going to be the nervous part of anyone, and I would just like to remind you that even if this does not work out, Matt Eberflus got bought over to the Colts with Josh McDaniels. He ended up leaving, and now he's a head coach, so good things can still happen for you.
That's a fair point, but I guess Raiders fans have to be feeling about their coaching situation the same way the 49ers fans were feeling about their quarterback situation, I don't know, with about a minute 46 to go in that game against the Los Angeles Rams. I gotta imagine that's an uncomfortable place to be.
A very uncomfortable place to be. And so for right now, they're going to have to sit and bathe in that. But coming up next, let's talk about that quarterback in that uncomfortable place here. What's next for Jimmy Garoppolo now that the 49ers season's over? We'll get to that here. Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golick Jr., at Chris Candy 99. And Gojo, I think we saw all we needed to see from Jimmy Garoppolo. If the Super Bowl a couple of years ago wasn't enough for you, where he overshot Emmanuel Sanders for what would have been the game-winning throw, I think the last two possessions that we saw against the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game last night sealed his fate. Jimmy Garoppolo clearly is a limited quarterback, and you don't have to take our word for it. You can just take the word of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, who told us as much when they moved up this past draft to get Trey Lance. So I know Trey Lance has said some things on the record saying he supports Jimmy G and that he's the man and everybody believes in him. But you got to think that that was the last time we're seeing Garoppolo in a 49ers jersey, no?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I would agree. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be the 49ers starting quarterback week one of next year, period, end of sentence. It is time to turn the reins over to Trey Lance. Even with what we saw on a limited basis this season, that was going to be the case. I think you saw enough, and we know this is what they brought him here to do. There is no reason. Because, again, Chris, I don't even have to go to the end of that game here. The beginning, George Kittle streaking wide open down the middle on their first drive, and you had another Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow. I feel like 49ers fans probably had flashbacks just off that alone.
Oh, yeah, not to mention the hospital ball that he threw to Deebo Samuels, man, that almost got him knocked out of the game. And he just kept doing it over the middle of the field. You don't throw the ball high and late over the middle of the field, yet he just routinely did it to his wide receivers. But I think that's one of the things that Kyle Shanahan identified as a potential strength for Jimmy G. When you look at all the attributes, like, he's good at throwing the ball in between the numbers, and it doesn't make sense to try to throw the ball vertically outside of the numbers because Jimmy G just isn't the best at it. Now, he did have some nice touch on that touchdown throw to George Kittle, but ultimately those plays are too far and few between. And in a situation where you got to have it, where your quarterback has got to engineer a drive, for Jimmy G late in that game to come up as small as he did, that's got to be disappointing to a lot of Niners fans. It probably is disappointing to Kyle Shanahan, although it won't be unexpected. They know what kind of quarterback they have, which is a guy that's just not quite good enough. But the guy that they want to take over isn't quite ready. So I think the 49ers were caught in between when it came to that quarterback position. But moving forward, Trey Lance is going to be the guy. I don't think that this postseason run does anything to influence John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan into keeping Jimmy Garoppolo around past this season.
Yeah, this is Jimmy G after the loss this weekend talking about their season. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. And a weird thing happened with Jimmy Garoppolo as we got deeper into the postseason. It happened when they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Chris, is the context changed around him in a way that was going to do him no favors. Jimmy Garoppolo, in actuality, perfectly fine veteran quarterback who's going to be a starter for somebody at the beginning of next year. I would be pretty comfortable in saying that. But Jimmy Garoppolo, when you want to insert him into the conversations with the other quarterbacks left in this postseason, is not going to fare well. And so many people now, Chris, I feel like, are reacting and saying we were too hard on Jimmy G because of comments made by Jeff Garcia and other people trying to insert him into places he didn't belong in. I was a perfectly fine college football player, Chris, because I was gone out there and I wasn't compared to other people. If you wanted to compare every snap of my college career to what Quentin Nelson would have done on every snap, guess what probably wouldn't look so great? My college football career. And if you want to compare Jimmy Garoppolo to Matthew Stafford and to Patrick Mahomes, it's not going to go well for him. And then when you try and whittle it down to wins as a quarterback stat as your justification for him in that arena, it's going to get torn apart. So it's going to seem like people are bagging on Jimmy Garoppolo. But Chris, I think this is just people once again trying to point out this is not the kind of conversation he belongs in as a quarterback, and putting him there unjustifiably so is a disservice to him.
Yeah, you can't look at wins as a quarterback stat and then put the loss that they suffered to the LA Rams on Jaquarski Tart not coming away with that interception in the fourth quarter. Like, if wins is a quarterback stat, then at some point your quarterback has got to make some game-winning plays. And Jimmy Garoppolo had every opportunity those last two drives, and Shanahan at that point had abandoned the run game. It was all drop-back passes from that situation on. So you have to put that on Jimmy G. And the fact that you had it first and 10 and second and 10 with a minute 46 to go and you want to check it down and throws behind the line of scrimmage, that absolutely makes no sense when you have to drive the length of the field to at least set up a game-tying opportunity with a field goal with Robbie Gould. So it makes no sense. Everybody trying to cape for Jimmy Garoppolo, he's just not good enough to do high-level winning, and we've seen that on, you know, two of the last three postseasons. And so he's a perfectly fine quarterback. He's around the 20th best quarterback in the National Football League. Good enough to be a quality starter, not good enough to win you a Super Bowl. And that's what the 49ers have routinely showed us with the last two postseason runs that they've made. So I don't understand why Jeff Garcia or others are trying to defend Jimmy Garoppolo when his own team, the 49ers organization, is telling us that this guy isn't good enough to get it done at the highest level.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a fine bridge program quarterback from here on out, right? The same way he is going to be like the next rung down from what we've seen from the Teddy Bridgewaters of the world, where if you can't get yourself a Teddy Bridgewater to come in and be a competent starter for you while you figure out who your quarterback of the future is going to be, Jimmy Garoppolo might be a serviceable substitute in that regard. If you're a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers going into next year, Chris, you mentioned before the show the Carolina Panthers. Any of those teams, if you may not be in a spot to commit long-term resources or draft picks to the position, Jimmy can come in and do spot. He can be a sexy Ryan Fitzpatrick for you.
Yeah, exactly. The Washington football team is another team that might be looking to upgrade from Taylor Heineke. You never know. The Denver Broncos, if they don't land that big fish this offseason, because we know they don't believe in Drew Lock. So there are going to be teams that are quarterback needy, and Jimmy Garoppolo can be a very fine bridge in order to what they're going to do long-term at the position. So no diss, no slight on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm just sitting here saying that he's not as good as his record as the starting quarterback for the 49ers would suggest. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a 19 games over 500 type of quarterback. Not based on ability.
Not based on ability, what we've seen, or any other number of resume points that we can pour to. But coming up next, let's look at the resume of the quarterback on the other side and find out which team is a Stafford away.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.